Welcome to The Bottleneck. The Bottleneck is a podcast dedicated to the love of factory and automation games. We're here to bring you the latest news and game reviews in the genre.
I'm your host, Dave, joined by my fellow co-host, longtime friend, and virtual drinking buddy, Chris.
We have decades of gaming experience across a variety of gaming genres and have, in the past couple of years, shared a deep appreciation for factory and automation games.
We'll start off today by talking about our first bottleneck, what's in the glass? What are you drinking?
Well, tonight I have Deschutes Black Butte Porter. However, it's the non-alcoholic version of it. It's pretty good. I would say it's like a 6 out of 10 compared to its alcoholic counterparts. It's not exactly the same. You probably wouldn't know it's Black Butte Porter if you were drinking it. So unfortunately, it doesn't taste quite like the original, but hey, it's good enough. It's NA beer. It's something, so... What about you? What are you drinking tonight? Yeah,
that's unfortunate. I've been searching for a good dark NA beer and haven't really found any other than Guinness so far. Still searching in vain, apparently. Plenty of hoppy things, but not much dark. I am drinking a Prairie Artisan Ales Rainbow Sherbet. It's a local brewery here in Chicago. And it's a sour ale with rainbow sherbet flavors. And it's pretty tasty. I was expecting it to be a little too sweet, but it is not. It's quite solid, pretty sour, and it comes in a 12-ounce can, so it's not
going to... All right.
It's not going to sour on you by the time you get through it.
Well, I think all Prairie Artisans, like the bombs and all that, right? Don't they all come in 12-ounce cans?
I think so.
And that rainbow sherbet, is that one thick like the Drecker beers? Oh, they have the chunks or whatever? Is it thick like that? Okay. When I think of rainbow sherbet, it's the first thing I get flashbacks to drinking Drecker beers and and how thick they are, and it's interesting.
I was wrong. It is it's not a Chicago brewery. I don't know why I thought that. They're actually in Oklahoma City.
Only off by a few hundred miles, right?
Yeah, you know. I've been to Oklahoma City. It's basically the same thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mostly only driven through it on the way to Arizona.
Ditto. Spent about 5 minutes there flying by. So actually spent the night there when we were moving out here. That was an interesting experience for another day. So what do we got in this week's current events and news?
There feels like there hasn't been a whole lot of patching going on lately. Everybody's saving up for big stuff. Tectonica released the Cozy Plant Pack. Had some fun cosmetics to add, some plants. But I mean, that wasn't super huge. There were a few little things in other games like DSP, but nothing too crazy in terms of patches. But there's also, on the other side, it feels like there's a ton of just news about games.
Right, and I think I added some to the news section that should have been under patches, but that's my fault.
Oh, well.
It's almost like all the developers are on vacation still, winter vacation, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about that before we fired up the recording, that there's a lot of games that haven't had a lot of patching or anything in a long time. So hopefully they'll come back from their sabbaticals and, give us some updates to them.
Yep, hopefully. So one developer who has been busy is the developer of AutoForge, which is one that I recently backed on Kickstarter. They finally have an early access release date of March 27th. I'm excited to get my hands on that in a month.
And then Factory Town, the developer for that is soliciting feedback on what to put into the Factory Town 2 game that's coming. So head over to the Factory Town Discord and give them your insight on what you'd like to see with Factory Town 2.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like any work at all has been done on it yet, but...
It's a good time to get your opinions in.
Yeah, I enjoyed the first game and would like to see some improvements made in the second game. Then Junk Punk brought on a second developer to help with UI and UX issues, of which we have found a fair number and haven't gone back to it since trying it early on because of that. So that's promising. I've been talking for a while about the next big update, the Monolith 3 update, and it sounds like this is a good step in getting to that and improving the game along the way.
Yeah, that's still one really looking forward to, and definitely going to give it some time to continue to bake before we jump in. And then Shapes 2, the not the expansion, but the follow-up to the original Shapes game, has released out onto a demo. This game has greatly increased the graphical and 3D nature of the game. So instead of the static overhead 2D view you kind of got with Shapes 1, you get a real nice 3D. You can spin it around. There's a lot of real nice add-ons to the game. But, you know, it's about 2 hours worth of gameplay to play the demo, and well worth it.
Yeah, I only fiddled with it for a few minutes on my Steam Deck, and it's definitely not quite Steam Deck ready yet, unfortunately. I'll have to get to that on the computer at some point. And then Tectonica, they announced that the factory efficiency update is coming, version 0.3. And it's going to have vertical belts and a lot more interesting things, some improved copy-paste, things like that. So that's promising. Will be a little easier to build an awesome big factory. I'm kind of excited for vertical belts instead of making these huge slopes when you make your giant tall factories.
Right. Yeah, you always get that weird like wave shape to it, right? As you're trying to get it up a few levels. And then Factorio has released, obviously every week they've been doing an FFF, and they've really been sneak peeking lately. The Fulgora, the latest new planet they want to talk about. It's like a junk planet, and the resource on it is basically, I think it's scrap, and you mine the scrap and it gets turned into a ton of intermediate components. So it's really interesting take. You don't get raw ores or raw resources out of it, and it plays right into the new recycling facility. So you can break down those components into their constituent parts and kind of feed it back into your factory. So really nice take on with that new planet coming online.
And I like that it has a little bit of an element of rail world to it, where everything is separated by like quicksand that you can't build much on. So you got to build like elevated rails on it to get anything from plateau to plateau. Sounds really neat.
Yeah, it sounded like it wasn't until late game that you research a type of landfill you can put down to build on top of the quicksand. So for most of the game, you're going to be stuck, you know, dodging lightning in between islands and building these huge rail networks, which will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, lightning power seems cool too.
Yeah, finally force people to use the batteries and the accumulators in mass. That'll be a lot of fun.
Ikaria released a demo. We talked about this one a little bit, I believe, on our upcoming games that you can't play yet. Well, you can kind of play it now, at least the demo. This is a bit more of a colony builder type. You do some automation using robots mostly. It's a bit programming oriented. Looks very interesting. Definitely looking forward to giving this a shot, but I haven't even started the demo yet.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of any game that has some programming elements to it. I'm just a huge fan of that style video game. So it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. And then Eden Crafters is a new game that I believe you can play the prologue for, they're calling it. It's kind of a demo prior to it being released. This is from the creators of Tenacity, if you ever played that game. But Eden Crafters is another full 3D first person, a little bit of a kind of a survival crafting automation. There's a lot of co-op to it. Having to craft and automate is going to be at the core to this new game. So really interesting look.
Yep, that one definitely looks neat. I'm looking forward to trying that. Captain of Industry announced that they're going to have hydrogen-powered vehicles in Update 2. That'll be interesting to see how that production chain fits together, and how much better those vehicles can be.
And then in Dyson Sphere Program, past couple patches for it have released some new goodies, including a Piler Sorter. This is a Tier 4 sorter for buildings now, and it basically allows the sorter, it's kind of like a stack inserter, if you want to think of that, for Factorio. So it allows it to pick up larger stacks and actually place down stacked items onto belts. So it's actually pretty nice little optimization, and it's also the fastest of the belts now too, so it can move a longer distance much, much quicker than previous. And then additionally, we received a new plasma tower and also jammer towers to help fend off the dark fog. So those are two new additions added to recent patches. that was kind of out of nowhere, to be honest. They really didn't announce it. It just added content. So.
They're always adding new things. Quality devs right there. Final upgrade had a big update. They released the Iron Will mode and also finally added achievements. Still perhaps not the final upgrade to final upgrade, but we'll see.
I know you're a big achievement guy, so maybe this will trigger you to jump back into it so you can check off those boxes.
Yeah, maybe. I do love checking off boxes.
And then Incremental Factory went into full release. This one kind of came out of nowhere as well. But this game was, it's kind of like a browser game, to be honest, right? It's super lightweight. Its focus is on supply and demand and automating the factories and the supply chain. So that was kind of a, it's a nice one if you have an old computer and need to scratch that itch. So it's a good way to get it.
Yeah. And Desynced hosted a server slam this past weekend. I'm curious how it went, but they tried to have as many people as possible join multiplayer games to try and crash their servers. So they're doing some load testing, more or less.
Question is, were they successful?
Is a good question.
And then the last of the updates was Puzzlerio, and this is just a fun puzzle game. Also a good one if you have a potato for a computer. It's basically, you have to solve puzzle challenges using conveyor belts and other items to basically make sure that whatever's being supplied gets to the areas that are demanding it. So this one is a bank breaker. I think it's under $5, even full price. So it's a good one for those with the, again, we're just a fan of any type of factory game, puzzle games, or maybe you have an old dinosaur or computer and looking for something that'll run on it. So a little bit of something for everybody. So this week's episode, the theme of this episode is going to be around the Steam Deck and likewise other handhelds in the genre. So if you have like a Lenovo handheld, I think the Lenovo Legion handheld, or one of the other many models that have followed the Steam Deck into the market. This is kind of a recap of, a series of games that we played the past few weeks, and we wanted to see the compatibility and how they run. And we're going to kind of go through some of the more popular games and kind of give you some feedback on how these games ran. And the playability, was it actually playable? Was it too graphically intense? Are the controls all right? Et cetera, et cetera. So,
not that we've only tested on the Steam Deck. I have a new OLED. Chris has older
OG LCD.
But we haven't tested on any of the other products, so we can't vouch for them 100%. But we assume that they play pretty much the same.
Right. Yep. Yeah, so I'm going to kick us off here. So the progenitor of the genre, Factorio. So overall, it's the game as a whole ran very well, right? It's not like the most graphically intense game, right? The hardware on a Steam Deck is way more than powerful enough to get you to the space launch or the rocket launch if you need to. It's not going to slow down or a UPS cap or anything. I had a little bit of issues with the default bindings or the official bindings for the game. So I ended up having to spend a good bit of time and try to rebind and make my own. After I did that, I was able to pretty much get through the red and green science pretty fast. Wasn't much of an issue. I think I turned combat off for this, though, or put him into basically passive mode, only because, first time playing, I didn't want to be frustrated by biters coming at me nonstop. But overall, I had fun with it. I think I gave it a 7.5 out of 10, mainly because it's overall plays well. Just needs some rebinding to it. Oh, and the modding, right? Like if when you want mods or you want to sync mods with saves and cloud save, that's all compatible. So if you load a save, you can sync mods and the mods work on the Steam Deck. Where I think on the Switch, there is no mods for it, right? At least there wasn't a time of launch.
There are no mods. Nintendo's closed ecosystem does not allow modding, generally speaking. That is the number one problem with the Switch, I would say.
So then what's your what was your take on your experience of Factorio?
Well, outside of the mods, I felt like I ran into a lot of the same problems I had when I tried it on the Switch. I didn't love the controls in general. I tried a few different versions, and none of it still really felt great to me. I feel like Factorio is best played with keyboard and mouse, period. My hands started hurting after playing it for a little while. I just feel like there are a lot of better options for handheld systems than Factorio, and it kind of lives on the PC for me. You know, it runs fine. And like you said, the hardware is powerful enough that it doesn't have any trouble with it. The graphics are great, as always. But I'm not super thrilled with Factorio on the deck, and I'll stick to other games on my deck. This is one of the few Factory games that is actually deck verified, despite all that. So I would give it like a 6, 6.5 out of 10 personally on the deck, even though it's a 10 out of 10 on the PC.
why don't you introduce us to our next game?
Yeah, so the second game we're going to talk about is the first game we talked about on the podcast, Autonauts. I played both Autonauts and Autonauts versus Pyrapots, though not as much of the second one. A lot like the Switch version that I tried, it plays a lot better than you would really think possible. The trackpad works really well. I'm kind of clumsy, so using the right stick to control the mouse is always a bit of a problem for my fat fingers. Having to call up the keyboard to type the bot names and group names is a bit annoying. They haven't updated the game recently, so it doesn't just naturally call up the keyboard. You have to actually manually call it up to type things in. Always annoying. But the controls worked pretty well. Obviously, Autonauts isn't super graphically intensive or anything, or computationally intensive, so it runs really well. I was pretty happy with this one. I would give it an 8 out of 10 on the deck.
Yeah, and this one, I remember getting up to, I want to say, tier 3 or 4. So I want to restart making berry pies and whatnot for your colonists. I think it's level 4.
That's tier 4. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got up to there on the Steam Deck. I found sometimes rearranging some of the logic for bots, and found that could be a little bit clumsy, at least for me it was. But yeah, overall, I mean, it played great on the Steam Deck. And I think they got a little bit of experience from what they did with the Switch, so it shows there. So yeah, I think I agree with you. I'd be a 7.5 or 8 out of 10 on that as well.
Yeah, I think it could move up if they did go back and, you know, give it more native support on the deck. Tweak a few little things, like you said, the bot orders can be a bit of a pain to manage. And like I said, the typing, that would definitely really make it an excellent deck game.
And then the next game was probably one of my favorites to play. And you'll actually see a little bit of pattern of the games I liked. I actually preferred the first person style factory games over the overhead or the 2D versions for some reason. I don't know. It's just the way that I can play them. But the next game is Tectonica. So I gave this one a 7.5 out of 10. The reason I discounted points on this mostly is around the fact that it's not really optimized from a performance level yet. And that's true on both the computer and on the Steam Deck, like a gaming PC. And also the UI and the menus, it's not handheld friendly. And what I mean by that is the UI scaling, the ability to read on the screen is a little bit distorted, or it's too small. So it can be a little bit of a pain. If you know what you're doing and know what you're reading, though, I think you can navigate. I actually liked exploring in Tectonica on the Steam Deck better than building the factory, where on a computer, I like building the factory better than exploring. It's kind of weird, but I felt it was almost relaxing into me racing around and exploring on the Steam Deck. So
makes some sense to me.
And overall, it wasn't... I didn't feel like I could do anything on the Steam Deck there wasn't anything I couldn't do on the Steam Deck that I could do on a normal computer. So control-wise and all that stuff, it was pretty easy. Its full function was there.
Yeah, it helps that they delivered with controller support. The controls just felt pretty natural overall. Yeah, but like you, I agree that the UI wasn't ideal. They definitely need to fix the scaling a little bit. There's a lot of small text in this game, but some of it's just small on the PC as well. It's just, I think they're actually actively working on that in general. So hopefully they'll keep the deck in mind while they're doing it too. And yeah, the performance is not the greatest, but that's not that different from the PC as well. Yeah, I'd give this about an 8 out of 10 as well. Solid. I enjoyed it a great deal on the deck as well. I wouldn't be surprised if they made it deck verified by the time they released.
Yeah, that'll be good. It's a big bonus to them. They sold well over 1 million decks since it was released, so it's a big ecosystem waiting to be tapped into.
And next game we'll talk about is another verified one, Factory Town. I was a little surprised to see that this had gotten verified. Unsurprisingly, I didn't have any issues running the game. It's not all that demanding. I wasn't enthralled with the controls. There's sometimes I had a lot of trouble getting people to go where I wanted, when I wanted them to go there. Selecting and deselecting buildings could be kind of a pain here and there. I did better using the trackpad for mouse controls than the stick. That's kind of a common theme on the deck for me. I started a new playthrough. I didn't get too far into it before I got a bit annoyed and decided to put it down to keep testing games. But yeah, I could definitely see myself going back and playing a decent amount of Factory Town on the deck. I suspect I'd get used to the controls pretty fast. And I'd give it a 7 out of 10. No major UI issues. There are some parts that are kind of small, but everything has pretty good iconography that you don't need to read things all that much. And it wasn't too terrible.
The next game, which was one of the first ones I actually played on the Steam Deck, was Novalands. So this is an isometric view. I think is it ISO? No, it's just overhead, right? It's not full isometric. But yeah, this one probably, at least for me, was a complete home run on the deck. So I don't think I had to move any controls. I didn't have to do any rebinding. It just worked. I didn't have any performance issues. And actually, I had a hard time putting it down. So I was just going and going and going until the thing ran out of battery. So I thought this one was probably the best example right now that we have of how a factory game should play in terms of just its fit and finish and usability for the Steam Deck. So, you know, if other games could get to that level, like this would kind of be the bar they would have to cross. If you can have this level of integration and ease of use, then, you know, I think that's probably where everybody needs to strive to get to be honest. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I would say the same. This was phenomenal on the deck. I had not played it on the deck, obviously, when we reviewed it, because I didn't have the deck yet. It took me a minute to adjust my brain to using the control setup on the deck after using keyboard and mouse on this game a lot and playing through it in its entirety once already. But once I got used to it, it was awesome. It made me want to keep playing through and experiencing all the new content they've added since when I stopped playing, which is a decent chunk. I didn't get too far into it in the end because I needed to try other games and didn't have a whole lot of time, but I will probably be revisiting this one in the near future. This is the third game on our list and the last game on our list that is Steam Deck verified, of course. But yeah, like you, I would say it's the pinnacle of factory games on the deck at the moment. Give it, you know, strictly as a deck game, 10 out of 10. This is the top option for playing a factory game on the deck for sure. And then the next game, it's one that I've gotten into to a fair amount recently, Evo Space. This is, you know, I believe it's by a single developer. They have not put any work into making it work on the deck. The delivered control scheme is terrible and unplayable. They clearly haven't done anything about it. But I was pretty easily able to make a control scheme that I really liked. I'm happy with that. And I shared it as a community layout for other people to use. Some of the quirks that I would say make it a bit annoying to play with the keyboard and mouse are actually a bit easier to handle on the deck if you set it up right. So that's kind of nice. Like, it's one of those games where pressing the same button again doesn't necessarily get you back out of a menu, but when you've got the escape key right under your left trigger finger or whatever, it makes life a little easier. you know, I don't have a huge factory or anything, but it ran very well. It's not a super demanding game overall. I haven't slowed down yet in any of my saves. I don't know how well it will scale as you start covering the world with stuff, though. And one issue I had with this, as along with Dyson Sphere Program, is that there is no Steam Cloud Sync in either of these. So that is a pretty major negative on the deck, actually. That's one of my main points against this one, besides me having to set up my own controls, that I was not able to play my saves from the PC on the deck. I had to start a new one.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is another one I did not get around to playing, so unfortunately, I don't have any notes on it either. So, all right, and the last one in the good-to-play category is Satisfactory. I enjoyed Satisfactory very much on this. I actually loaded up a save that I already had going on the PC. So what Dave was talking about with the cloud sync and the cloud saves, that's actually huge, right? Because when you're playing on the deck and you know, you put that down, and maybe you're traveling, you want to pick up and resume a factory. When you get home, you'd like to switch back to the PC. It's nice to have the cloud sync and move those save files back and forth. So you're not, you know, you're not diverging saves or just all out. Because some people don't like to play multiple different variants, right?
I would probably only play it in one place if I can't switch between the two. I'm just going to pick one and I'm only going to play there and that'll be it.
Yeah, so Satisfactory does have cloud saves, which is nice. The game runs pretty well. I mean, it scales up. This is a game that's actually been pretty well optimized by the developers. So overall, it plays really well on the Steam Deck. At least I thought it did. Again, just similar to Tectonica, I didn't think there was anything in the game that I couldn't do on the Steam Deck that I could do on a normal computer. Obviously, things are small. I think there's some scaling issues with some of the menus, but I played this game for 100 or 1,000 hours or something, so I kind of know my way around. Might be a little biased with that, but running around, doing things within the game, I thought was pretty easy. So.
Yeah, I played this a little bit on the deck. I struggled a bit with the default bindings. I found the UI to be a little smaller than I'd like. It can be tough to do things like scan for resources on the default bindings. I had to find a good community layout, and even then it was still a little bit weird. However, I did find that building worked surprisingly well with the deck controls. Menus there are actually nice and big. Unlike some of the others, they work really well with the touchscreen or the D-pad. And after experimenting with some community layouts, I had a decent time with Satisfactory on the deck. Unfortunately, the deck did not fix the fact that I am terrible at 3D no-grid layout worlds. So, alas, it does not fix my biggest issue with the game, which is my competence.
There actually is a global grid in Satisfactory. You just can't see it, but you can actually snap to it.
It doesn't do it for you, which is my problem. You have to remember to do it yourself.
Right. I know.
None of the buildings are the right size for it either.
Those buildings are massive in the game. They're probably the most realistic in size, but.
Just have a regular unit and have it be one or two of those, not one and a half. Anyways, yeah. I probably will not go back to this one on the deck, but. Once it comes out, I will definitely be going back to it on the PC.
Yeah, I give it about a 7 out of 10. Chris score on that one.
Go down to a 6, 5.5 out of 10 deck-wise.
Fair enough. All right, so then what are some games that are just meh? What are your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, so I tried Shapes and Mindustry. Those are two that I checked out and was underwhelmed by. Both of them felt a little mobile-y. You know, they're kind of older games with a bit of a mobile game aesthetic to them. So I thought that they might play nicely, especially with the touchscreen and everything. But I just found them to be kind of a pain to use. Control schemes weren't great. They both performed very well. Didn't have any problems with that. But they both have a lot of text and the menus weren't ideal. Mindustry, I could not for the life of me figure out how to unpause at one point after I paused the game, and I just rage quit. Eventually I found a way around that by, you know, looking at the key bindings, but for a little while there, I was pretty annoyed. So I give those each about a 6 out of 10, maybe a 5 out of 10. I wasn't thrilled with either of those.
Yeah, I think Shapes 2 is better on the Steam Deck than the original Shapes. I'm with you. Yeah, we'll see more as that game matures. Yeah, Mindustry is, it's just a little, definitely mobile-y, but it's not the best on the deck. Just how it is. I think I gave it a 6 out of 10. I mean, performance-wise, it's fine. But yeah, the controls are definitely the worst part about both of those games.
With all the support that game has received, I would not be too surprised to see it get a Steam Deck specific update. But right. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens.
And then we also did Atrio, The Dark Wild. Personally, I only played this on the Steam Deck when it came out. I did not play this on the normal computer at all, even to this day. I thought it played well. It performed well. You know, it looks pretty good on the Steam Deck. I got very frustrated with placing down items because you place them one square off all the time and nothing lines up. Then you have to go and rip it out and redo it. And so that was a little wonky. Some of the controls as well, similar to what you're saying with like unpausing and pausing. It's like, what key does this? It should just be over here. I got to go pull up the Steam menu and go to the bindings and figure out what it is. But
yeah, I found the controls a little weird on that one too. It's just... I was very used to the keyboard and mouse controls, and it was just I could not wrap my head around how to use my fingers on the Steam Deck.
Right. All right. So then the last category, games you did not enjoy or just broken.
Yeah, things that I do not ever want to play again on my Steam Deck.
Well, at least until they fix it. And what is that, Dave?
That would be Dyson Sphere Program. This is a very complicated game and very graphically intensive. It plays like crap, takes a long time to load, the UI sucks, there's a lot of tiny text in a lot of different places. Tried 3 different community layouts, hated all of them. And then to top it all off, like I said, we don't have Steam Cloud saves, so that makes it even worse. This is one that I will continue playing all the time on my PC, but never, ever, ever on my deck.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that. That was, one, the lowest resolution the game officially supports is 1400 by 900. And the Steam Deck's resolution is 1280 by 720, 720p, right? So even if you run it in 720p or run it in that resolution and downscale it or do whatever you do, no matter what, it's going to look interpolated to all hell. It looks like crap. You can't read any of the text because it's interpolated to hell. Nothing renders right because it's just not the right scale. And then on top of that, the UI doesn't scale at all. The lowest UI support is also 900 pixels on the vert. So it's just broken from a graphics standpoint. So despite all those challenges and the fact that I have 600 hours in it or whatever, I was still able to get the automating blue cubes and also put a little mini mall in. So your first 8 to 10 buildings that you have, I was able to automate that. So I did play it. You know, I struggled through by 90 minutes to 2 hours playing it. But again, this is only because I have a lot of experience with it. I know what I'm doing. I know what the buttons are, despite not being able to read them. But if you're new coming to this game, it would be completely broken and unplayable for you. So it was actually so bad, I actually emailed on my personal email account, at least an email I think I have for the developers, asking them if they're ever going to consider at least supporting down to 720p and or Steam Deck support in the future. So I have not heard back yet, but it was so bad that I was like, this game is so good, and it runs like crap on the Steam Deck. So I actually went out of my way to ask him what the heck. So, but yeah. This would be like a 3 out of 10 right now, 2 out of 10, because it's just, in my opinion, functionally is broken. So,
yep, agreed. Cannot be played on the deck.
All right, so we hope you liked our breakdown of Steam Deck compatible games and maybe some that aren't so compatible. I don't know about you, but that made me thirsty. Time for round two. What's in the glass? Dave, what do you got?
I decided to join you in the non-alcoholic zone. I am drinking a Revolution Brewing Super Zero Sparkling Hop Water. Revolution's one of my favorite breweries, so I was excited to see that they had a hop water. I was unfortunately a little bit disappointed. It is one of the worst hop waters I've had. It's still pretty good, but I'd much rather have the Lagunitas or a few others that I've tried.
It's too bad. You were just talking about those last episode. You liked them a lot and end up getting an not-so-great one. Yeah, well.
And how about you? What are you drinking?
I went to the opposite end of the spectrum, so ditched the dark beer and went with the hazy IPA, the Athletic Brewing Free Wave. Again, non-alcoholic, but in my opinion, non-alcoholic, where they shine the most or taste the most normal is with hoppier beers. So that would definitely, you know, taste like a mid-range hazy from your stereotypical brewery, in my opinion. So not too bad.
Just wish I liked IPAs more. I would enjoy drinking non-alcoholic beer more.
I'm surprised you're not an IPA fan, actually.
Yeah, I prefer.
You're more what, German styles?
Malty and sour to bitter.
So nice alt beer, a dunkel.
Yep.
Yeah, I get it. So.
Yep. But oh well.
So then you got the Steam Deck OLED. You've been playing games. What's got your attention these days?
Yeah, so I have not had much time to play at all. I've been finishing up a house renovation and moving back into our bedrooms of the house and trying to sleep, manage my sleep schedule around a 7-month-old going through a serious sleep regression. So not as much gaming time as I'd like. I've been playing some Tears of the Kingdom on my Switch. Haven't really touched my PC after I got the Steam Deck, but I've been playing Against the Storm on it. It's a roguelike city builder that I played through quite a while back in early access. Now it's out in 1.0, so I started a new profile on it, starting from the lowest difficulty. It has like a interesting progression system, and it plays really well on the deck. They definitely did a great job of optimizing the controls for it. And I also ended up getting Rune Factory 5 on the deck because one of my favorite series, but the game runs terribly on the Switch, so it was on sale on Steam. So I got it to play on my deck, and I've been playing that a lot and enjoying that a great deal.
Has it been performing better than the Switch version?
The load times are like a quarter of what they are on the Switch. It's amazing.
Yeah. Switch is just over 7 years old.
Yeah.
So it's to be expected.
Yeah. And it was underpowered at the time.
Right. Well, they did announce the Switch 2 is landing quarter one of next year. So
yeah. We'll see how that goes. They haven't really given any details about it yet, but
nope. It's all we know is roughly when it's gonna land. So
it's the Nintendo cycle, it's gonna be a total dud, right? Every other console they release is terrible.
It's like Windows. My Microsoft knows all about that. Maybe if they teamed up and they can get it right.
Yeah, so I feel like you've had a lot of gaming time lately with your health problems.
A little bit of my back issues. Luckily, coming out on the other end of the back issues, luckily. It's well known on the Discord that my gaming laptop is fried and won't stay on for more than 30 seconds before it black screens. And so I had to dust the old gaming computer off that I ditched to go to the laptop. And so I've been playing Factorio and attempting to play DSP on it. But that's, I think my old gaming computer, I should have actually docked my Steam Deck and played that instead of digging out the old computer. I'm pretty sure the Steam Deck's more powerful than my old desktop. But alas, too late to make any changes there. But Factorio obviously runs great on it. DSP runs at like 20 FPS. It's not good. And it's all the way turned down. Like that's how much DSP needs. I mean, but I made it through the end game. But the thing that made me really mad about the DSP is the lack of cloud saves. And
oh yeah,
I didn't realize.
Did you rescue your saves from your gaming laptop?
I haven't been able to find them. I don't know what directory it saves them in. And if it was saved anywhere in my user profile on the old computer, it's gone. Because I wiped the drive. It's one of those, I have all my games on a secondary drive installed, right?
Yeah.
But DSP, for some reason, your blueprints, your screenshots,
yep,
all of that stuff, it puts in your user profile. Your
program data, yeah. Ouch.
Right? Yeah, so I'm going to try again to see if I can find it, but
Yeah, you're probably screwed.
I think I'm screwed out of my old 10,000 signs per minute mega universes using galactic scale. They're probably gone. Luckily, I did upload my blueprints. I linked them.
Yeah, you sent them to me.
I linked the folder actually to my Google Drive.
Nice.
So it stayed live. So any changes I made to that, luckily I synced them up, because remember I put all that effort into all the Forge World blueprints, and yep, man, I would have been upset if I lost all that. So luckily that was backed up to the cloud, doing what DSP should be doing. But I guess the saves are so huge for DSP that they're allotted save slots they get as developers isn't enough.
Yeah, that's certainly the reason. It's a tough one to swallow, but it'd be nice if you could like actively turn on cloud syncing for like one save or something. I don't know.
Right.
Some way to do that. Oh well,
it'd be nice.
Instead, we got to do tricks. Oh, well. I when I was playing like pretty hard, I was backing my games up on Google Drive as well, just to make sure I wouldn't lose anything.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but what are you gonna do?
Yep. And you've also been playing the game of build your own computer.
Oh yeah, that's the I've been annoying everybody on the Discord about that. I'm too excited. Yeah, so since the laptop crashed, I decided to do a gaming build. And that is basically, I think I'm waiting on one more part for it. But by the time we do our next episode, I'll have plenty of experience with that under the belt in terms of games on it. So it's basically as top of the line as you can build for an all AMD system. So I'm looking forward to getting it booted up.
I have my old desktop sitting under my desk right now. Once we put in our addition in the spring, probably going to hook it up and see what's happening with it. Maybe open up the CD-ROM drive, play some like Diablo 2 or something.
It's like, I think, can't you just get the Diablo 2 off of Battle.net now?
Probably.
I'm sure I got a copy of it floating around somewhere.
Got a stack of CDs sitting somewhere in a drawer.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't like take a picture of you holding it and get credit for it on Steam or Battle.net, right? That'd be nice. Oh well. What are you gonna do? Yeah. So more to come on new games, PC builds, and desktops.
Thank you all for joining us tonight as we talk about the wonder of playing games on the deck. There are some pretty solid factory games you can play on your Steam Deck. I still generally think that the PC, the keyboard and mouse is usually going to be the superior way to play most of these games, but it's definitely pretty solid.
Yep, hard to take your desktop computer on the road with you, so, you know, for what it is, it works very well. And if you have any suggestions for us, as usual, head over to our Discord server where we chat about automation and factory games. Any games, really. We talk about, you know, colony builders, city builders, whatever you want to talk about. We talk about it there. We talk about upcoming releases. That's the first place if you want to figure out the new and upcoming. And then we also have a website, battlenetgaming.com, where we have a games database that we keep up to date.
So you should probably update that. We're a little behind.
There's always something.
Yep. We will see you next time. As always,
The factory must grow.